cliffcentral.com.
I'm so excited to see Celeste. I've been such a fan for the longest time. Right, Mavs? I've been talking about her for years.
Yes, yes, yes.
How come I haven't met you before? Come here, give me a hug.
All right, that's right. Hug it out. Hold, squeeze. Yeah, that's it. Get it in real tight.
Look at you two. I can't believe I got two comics of this caliber on the same day. It's almost... And you know the point of the whole thing this morning is just to talk nonsense. Yeah. There's no agenda. You know that, right?
When I saw Chris Forrest, I was like, why are we here?
Yeah.
Because he's also in trouble. You're like, he's always in trouble. I didn't know.
Who are you in trouble with? What's happened with you? Why are you... What have
who
you done?
Who have you offended?
I mean, what is it now?
I'm not even sure.
This one is always trouble. When you are being called with Chris Forrest, you must
you
ask
know.
Questions.
Do you think that Lucas, who came to fetch you a moment ago, looks a little bit like Burning in Tlemaza this morning with his... Because he's just shaved his head.
Did he come in the front door or the back door?
is he going to...
We have no idea.
Him somehow.
He arrived a little bit late, you know. We almost had to issue a warrant of arrest for him as well.
What a story.
Does he have your cell phone and car and...
Isn't this the most incredible story, this whole thing with him?
I think he took the car and then...
He went for a joyride in Pretoria.
Yeah.
This country is amazing.
You're
guys.
Fired. No, I'm not. No, you really are. No, I'm not.
I'm here. I've got work to do.
But I guess he's teaching us what to do before you go to CCMA.
Yes, exactly. Imagine like
start messing with them so they will feel it.
Call center work or something. And then the Minister of Communications has to come and fire you personally. That's like, it's insane. Like, come on, dude. Just, all right, fine, fair enough. I'll find a new job.
Listen, I've had Chris on the show before. People love you. You're hysterical. You still, oh, do you
no,
want
no,
one
no,
of those
don't
muffins?
Don't push those muffins.
No, I don't. Please, carbs are the devil.
bring them here. I'll get them out of your way.
No, I'm sorry. Not for now. I think I have more than enough for Lobola packages, so I must try to trim it.
But I'm very excited to have Celeste here because I haven't actually met her properly.
I know.
You should be excited.
I haven't met you. Every time
I don't know how because I know I know your stuff. I've seen you on stage before. I'm a fan.
Oh my god, thank you. People, you know this. If Gareth Liv has seen me on stage and liked it,
yeah. Mm-hmm. You know I don't
because you don't like anything.
No, I don't. And most especially, I don't like to make.
I don't even think you like twerking the way you don't like anything.
I don't like anything. I'm a grumpy old asshole. Oh man, but it's very cool to meet you properly.
Thank you.
And I know loads of people know your story, but we're gonna have to get into that
just
so that we can recap. And in this case, it'll be for many of us the first time that we've heard
it.
So Chris has been here before. We've been shooting the breeze for a while. You know,
many times.
Yeah, I have. I have many interactions with you that have ended in laughter and humiliation for one of us.
Yeah, well, mostly both of us, or you know, lots of drunken.
What are you up to, dude? Where are you at the moment? You're obviously doing loads of gigs.
Doing loads of gigs. I've got my super cool TV show on every Saturday at 4 o'clock called "Is That a Fact?" on SABC3.
Now, why do they give you such a shitty time allocation? Because Saturday 4 o'clock is not you. Your show should be prime time.
I'm 100% with you.
Because they've got such rubbish the rest of the time. And now Claudie's cost the SABC so much money, they should be begging for a show like yours.
Yeah, actually, I think he mentioned it in the press conference. He said, we're going to keep the 90% and we're going to actually move Chris's show to prime time.
But this is a game show.
It's a game show, talk show, panel show.
Yeah,
it's a fun show.
Tell me about it.
So, if you've ever seen the British show called Would I Lie to You?
Yes! Love that show.
It's fairly similar. There's a lot of differences, but the premise is we get four celebrity panelists,
mm-hmm.
and they come in and they tell us various stories or brag about being able to have various special skills or show us like an object from their childhood.
And you pick out the liar.
And you have to pick out who's lying and who's telling the truth. I don't do it. The rest of the panel does.
Wow.
Yes.
It must have led to some pretty bizarre situations.
We had Jeannie D with her fist in her mouth on Saturday.
I saw tweets about this and I couldn't figure out where it came from.
Yes.
Sure.
She's got quite a capacity in that mouth of hers.
Oh, yes. My.
Like, if you didn't love her before, now you have.
Now you've got every other reason to.
Yes.
She's a sexy woman, that. There's something going on there.
Definitely. Although I don't know if I could fill the same space as a fist. But
it's very intimidating. I mean, yeah.
Okay, what kind of you show is this? I think I'm sitting there thinking, oh, all right.
With food, I cook. What are you guys talking about?
That's exactly what I'm thinking.
So weird.
So, Celeste, tell me your story. I mean, like, what's the background here? How did you get into this?
Bundu's girl. Born from
what Bundu's? Whereabouts?
I'm from the rural areas.
Like how rural? Like,
serious rural. I used to fetch water, and it was not a disadvantaged situation. This is the way of
survival.
Life.
Survival.
You know, it's a drug school.
She had running water in the house, but she was used to that.
No, you know what? Everything is like men, hand, like homemade, like you, how they do the piping. That's how we grew up. So you know you have to save water. So in saving water, if you have, like, people are trying to save water.
So you'd have
to
go and get in buckets. You'd have to go and.
Yeah. So if you want, it's summer.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a shower and you want proper, nice, let me feel myself. Go to the river so you can fetch yourself enough water to do your shenanigans.
Why didn't you just wash in the river?
Oh my God. No, it was the whole thing of, I was not prepared to be toileted and get married because they used to pick you up in those days.
Yeah. They would see you as a woman having a little bath in the river with your titties out, and it would be the end.
I know you've seen a lot of those adverts for soapies, for soaps and bath.
Yeah. Where women are washing their hair on the waterfall. Yeah.
Not so much.
It didn't work like that in Bundu's. But I enjoyed it. I think that's it, the whole of discovering yourself happened in the midst of family that is crazy, you know, huge number of people. And luckily, all my siblings, most of them were smarter and they got to serious careers, doctors, pharmacists and whatnot. So when I started doing comedy, they were like, oh, at least she's doing something.
They were worried that you'd be stuck at home
with
them
forever. It's not bad.
We're so sick of everyone else becoming
a pharmacist. Yeah, exactly. I promise you, for real. My sister is a chef. My other brother is a pharmacist. My other sister is a doctor. The other one is an accountant, and there I am.
But you might even be doing better than all of them.
Well, actually, no.
But this is such an unusual path to follow. I mean, if you're from like rural South Africa,
yeah,
you know, things are tough. It's not fun. It's not a source of comedy. It's like.
I guess that was my writing space. Because right now, those things come in handy. You know, experiences.
I beg to differ with you, Mr. Cliff.
Go on.
Because comedy doesn't come from, like, how many comedians do you know who are like, yeah, I grew up in a mansion. Yeah. And my parents were amazing. They supported everything I did.
Yeah, they always
had. And I just had the best life ever.
In fact, a lot of comics I know are very depressed people.
I know. I actually wish I suffered from depression. I'm sure I'd be a lot funnier.
One of your friends, who's a very successful comic, came here one day. We had an interview, and he stayed afterwards and came into my office, and we sat down and talked. And I said to him, man, like, how are things? And he virtually burst in tears. He said, my life is a disaster. My wife wants to leave me. It's just a fucking mess. And
wow.
You've just described about 70% of the comedy industry.
I guess for me, it's because comedy rescued me from that depression. So it worked different.
You do get to analyze people. And this is, I think, where a lot of comics have their genius, is that you're observing stuff that ordinary people are just doing. And they're not even aware of their bizarre behavior, their strange points of view.
How they respond to things.
Yeah,
how they.
And you're sitting there in the corner and you're watching them and you're going, I'm going to point this out to people and they will think it's funny.
Let me tell you something. I laugh first. I'm from the family of eight, and my sisters, when they brought the husbands and it was white people, the whole village went crazy.
Have you got white in-laws?
Yeah, I've got two white in-laws, not
nieces
proper.
And nephews. That's
and they speak French, so that's another mess.
They speak
that's
French.
Complicated.
When they came home, and the whole literally village, and my brother had, you know, gotten married, and it was that whole cow thing, traditional.
Yeah.
So these ones brought their boyfriends then, who were pretty serious.
What did your parents think of that?
My mom was freaked out. Yeah. Number one, she was freaked out, and then they had to kiss. the French greeting. That freaked her out even more. Why are they kissing me now? That was so funny.
This is fantastic.
But you see, for me, right at that moment when it was like tension, oh my God, what are we going to do? For me, I was laughing.
Whereabouts are the Ntulis from?
We are from Mbangeni.
Mbangeni?
Yeah, near Ongoye, you know, University of Zululand.
Sure.
Those rural areas on the behind of the university.
That's some place to come. Did you go to any of those ceremonies when you were a kid, like to watch
the
older girl? You did one?
And the worst thing
redance
is that,
thing?
Yeah, my older sister got married and my mom was like, there's no way, you must do a ritual. At that time it was 2009, I was old enough. Everything was hanging.
Sure.
Now I must wear a cow skin.
Right.
Really?
So did you go out? Have you met the king?
I actually did. I went on a personal level with friends to the ritual, and then I got to meet him. Yeah.
Because there's in like rural KZN, people don't know, but the king holds a lot of sway, and all that traditional ritual and all the rest of it is actually really, really important. It's
very.
Not just something that, you know, like a lot of people from the city, they go back and they take part in something, but it's almost for show. There, for those people, it's day to day.
Every day. It's a way of life. Yeah.
It's expensive to live a traditional life. I always tell people it's not because we don't like our tradition and culture. Mm-hmm. It's expensive. We are in junk status constantly.
Right.
To buy a cow for a cousin whom you didn't like because it's a ritual.
And you're constantly feeding everyone else.
Exactly.
Do you have to buy a cow? You can't just go get like a nice piece of rump?
No. When we did our ritual, it was me and my other two sisters. It was three cows. Each person a cow.
I get it. There are all these ceremonies that play out as well during the slaughtering.
Yes.
Because the cow can't just go to the butcher.
It's not a cow only. When you're going to buy a cow to slaughter, you must buy a goat for tatas to connect with the ancestors.
You can't
take the cow and put the cow to the corner of the room and light an incense and talk to your ancestors.
But
the goat can do that.
Do they sell them as a package? Like
the package deal.
Well,
like
some they do, because they know we do that. Like, are you going to be asking for a goat? Because a goat can be as cheap. It's just the data. Mm. You know, it's just to connect and say, why are you doing the ritual? Literally, that's what the goat is for.
Do your family have cattle, or did you have to go buy every time?
We have to go buy every time. I think my mom had four girls trying to gather as many cows, but unfortunately they got married to French people.
And the French don't believe in currency.
They don't do the cow thing.
So
then your family then, were they very upset when they couldn't observe certain practices because now they have to accommodate these French people?
I think that was more of it, because my brother had gotten married and everything.
But hang on,
how
many Frenchmen are now in your family?
Two.
You've got two French people.
Two, and they're from different areas in France. So when I go, I must go to these in-laws and those and the other. Like, I literally have two French people that I have to. And I was accommodating my sister with her husband the other week. Mm-hmm. The other one is coming in August, and it's a different French guy. That one is proper French. Even when you give him a goat, he does go say, can I have the table? There's no table here. You must
sit on the ground. God damn you! Wow, this is fascinating. I mean,
it is fascinating. And my 3-year-old is teaching me French. The niece. Oh gosh, it's horrible.
It's tough, huh? I tried to study it.
Because now she can't tell me the important stuff I need. I'm single. I must ask. Do you have money? How big is it? Stuff
but
like
please
that.
Don't also get married to Frenchmen. It'll sound like there's a thing.
I don't know.
The family's got a type. And
kind of like those Kardashian sisters who also have
Well, for real. The people that knows us always ask. I think I've been offered four times, people that know me. Probably five times the reality TV thing.
Well, it would be fascinating to watch your family in action.
It is fascinating to friends. When my sisters come, all of my friends want to come to my house.
And you were busy saying your brother? You were busy telling me about him?
Yeah, he passed on, but he got married. He was one of those BE guys and stayed in George. And you know, I promise you, me, I'm nothing in my family. I go and wash dishes. The other people have got proper stuff.
But you're the celebrity. I mean, of course, there might have been some of them that made money here, but like, you're Celeste Ntuli. People know your name.
I guess now. Yeah.
But, and how come it isn't Celeste?
I asked, actually. And between my mom and my dad, they were all arguing who gave me the name. But I think it was from the Reader's Digest, because my dad used to subscribe to Reader's Digest. Apparently my mom was pregnant and she saw the name and she was like, oh, I like this.
I love the way that some people, at least she chose an actual name. If you listen to some of these Afrikaans names, we talk about it all the time, that they make up where they take the one grandfather and the other grandfather and they smash it together. Yes. And they make
and
a
that's
name.
That's a name.
Grizzledine.
Grizzledine. You get these actually cuck names that
they
totally made up.
You see, now I'm interested in finding that more. Definitely do.
Yeah, Chris. What's happening with you in terms of things other than the career? How the family?
The family are amazing. We have a lot of them now.
Still all so happy together?
Still so happy. Everyone's just so wonderful.
So you don't have some story you're going to cry in my office later?
I might. just so we can have a man hug.
You know, I was talking to someone the other day, who did we have in here last week? Because
the comedians, you mean?
Yeah, we were talking about it. Oh, yeah, it was Nick Goliath.
Oh, yes.
Talking about just how huge comedy is in South Africa, because, you know, we have a population of some 50 million and there may be 1,000 comics, he said. And of those, you know, maybe 50 of you guys are doing really, really well. But that's still a lot.
There's too many now. I'm trying to stop the flow. And us old people, people like Celeste come through and then they're funny and stuff and we have to work harder. What the hell? Why? Stop it now.
No, but you guys are, you're the prime comedians. And I've always said that the reason for that is because you're adaptable to any situation. Like you can be an MC at a thing. You can host a TV show. You can do stand up for an hour. You could be yourself and you'll win.
There's literally nothing we won't do for money.
But there's also
literally, if the price is right,
there's also nothing you can't. There's nothing you can't do.
Yes.
That's extraordinary. A lot of people, a singer is only good at being a singer. They're very seldom good at anything else.
I know, because I just discovered past 5 years that I can act.
Yeah.
And people were, because for me, it was me trying to venture into this new thing. And then comedy is my love. Like right now, I'm going to go back to that.
But can you sing?
Ooh, my dad had a band. That's another story. Every Sunday, he will create a song and bring all of us.
And you would all sing.
You're gonna sing A minor, soprano, tenor, and I'm there going, oh my god,
organ pipes. Tell me, do you especially when you first started, did you get intimidated? I mean, is it because I still think that going up on stage as a stand-up comedian is the scariest thing in the world.
For me, the funniest thing, I saw the poster and I said, I can do that. And I had just seen a stand-up comedy DVD with D.L. Hewley, the Kings of Comedy. That was the first time. And I saw Richard Pryor. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh, okay, cool. I do this at the parties when we're drinking for booze.
I can do this. My first memories of Celeste was on a TV show called So You Think You're Funny.
Yes. This was my mentor, guys.
And I thought she was going to win. And then she didn't. Just hashtag.
It's not a spoiler alert. The show is long.
Yeah, it was what, 10 years ago?
No, 2009.
So after she did the reed dance, she
actually
came for another reality competition.
Actually, she was like, well, the king didn't like my titties, so now let me come and do this.
Actually, yes, of course. Just after the ritual,
like she was into entering these competitions. So it was like, well, if I can't get married, I'll make people laugh.
But let's be fair. There is a lot of female talent in comedy at the moment too, and I mean,
there's really not.
No. What I mean is that the ones that we know are doing really well.
I mean, comparatively, it's one of those things that everyone, and it's a bear trap, especially when a feminist comedian goes, "Why do you think there aren't more women in comedy?"
And you get into those.
I think people take that very personal. For me, it's not personal. It's just I think as women, again, if you've been in a disadvantaged situation for so long, you even complain about things that you shouldn't be complaining about, because complaining is in the blood. You're like, oh, why men get proper underwear? As we get the lace, but the lace is beautiful. You know what I mean? Like sometimes you even go and complain about things that have nothing to do with anything. Comedy, there's nothing heavy. There's nothing really macho. It was made as if it's a man thing because men were free to talk about anything else. For me, it was that whole thing of I needed to make sure that when I'm on stage, I'm not representing fat Zulu girls. I'm representing human beings. So don't be shocked that I will be talking about sex, I'll be talking about lobola, I'll be talking about Zulu culture things that people find they're very sacred and whatnot. For me, they're a topic.
And in a year's time, you'll be speaking French.
They're doing that Montreux gig.
Yeah, you'll be able to go...
In the local language.
Yeah. Can you?
Gosh, when my sisters speak French, I look at them, I go, wow, really?
It always sounds like they're saying really romantic, lovely things, even if they're being filthy.
Exactly. Even if when they fight. Me, I don't know when my sisters fight with their husbands until I see someone goes, I'm like, why was that an argument?
Because you can never tell from the words.
No.
It's a whole, like, there's a maman.
Yeah, maman.
It all sounds so nice.
The kid, you can tell, because the two-year-old understands Zulu, but she will reply in French.
Must be beautiful kids.
I'll show you. They're so awesome. So she replies in French, but you say something and so you say, "Hambo tatindwang," and she goes, "Zove, zove, zove," and I'm like, oh my God. Now I have to call the mommy because she gets stressed when she understands. And this one time she wanted to go to the pool. I didn't know what was the petit, what do you call it?
Piscine.
Piscine, yes. Yeah. Oh, you say you, but you're not.
Oh, but that's no, just, but, you see, that's the other side of French. That just sounds like. Huh?
That's it?
Sounds dirty if she's asking for
It always sounds like it comes straight out of porn.
Yeah.
She had to go literally take me and show me the swimming way. I'm like, oh, you want to go eat? Okay, now let's prepare you to go to the pool. You know, it's that type of thing. But
and
it's
also
funny.
Going to the pool isn't a very Zulu thing to
do. Yeah, I know.
Unless it's a fire pool. It makes no sense at all, right? Like, your mother would be beside herself. She's like, what? This one?
Yeah, it's not a Zulu thing at all. It's not a Zulu thing. But she's so Zulu. That's funny, another thing. She's French, but she's so Zulu. She sings all the time. She tries to do the Zulu dance. It's funny.
I know that there are a lot of people who get very carried away with this whole diversity thing, and they start thinking that that's itself a sign of some kind of special talent or ability. But I do love it because when you see these cultures combining and you get these kids who are just multifaceted because they can pull from this, they can pull from that.
Exactly.
They really end up being the kings of the world because they don't give a shit. They don't have this identity political hang-up that the rest of us have.
They're amazing. They go on to host The Daily Show.
Yes. That's the point. Right?
That is exactly the point.
Exactly.
Now, speaking of Trevor, there always is, and I know you guys don't like it when I bring this up, but I'm fascinated by it. There's always some kind of hierarchy in comedy. There are some people who are very powerful because they control a lot of the companies behind the scenes, or the means to get on television, or the means to do this, or they've got a lot of clout and influence. Then they're the ones who are just amazingly talented and everybody loves being around them, and they're the ones who come up with all the original stuff, and they're the ones who just are rock solid. They are consistent. You could always rely on them to do the show that counts. They can be called on when the audience is full of shit. They can be called on when it's a corporate crowd of boring accountants, and they always deliver. And somewhere in all of that, there's a first place, a second place, and a third place. And even if it's just in your head, because no one ever really ranks them. But if I think about you, Celeste, I think about you, and there's really only you and Dumi Moraki at the top of that pyramid, that particular pyramid. Yeah. When I think of you, Chris, I'm like, this guy's been around a while. He knows his shit. There's very little that you misstep.
And it's still amazing to watch him.
Oh, love her.
Well, no, for real, it is. I'm with you, I make sure I go watch.
But you do. Like, how do you keep coming up with the stuff? Because the more successful you have been, the more pressure there is on you to keep that up. You're only as good as your last show.
I think it's just, well, you use the word adapting, but it's kind of like not trying to be, I'm not making jokes about picking up women anymore. I'm making jokes about being a dad or whatever's relevant in my life.
I think that's actually what we spoke about the last time, is like all the dad stuff that you started to incorporate.
Yeah, it's dad stuff. It's stuff about getting old and going bald and being married for a long, long time.
Chris,
but it's like literally where you are. And then
your wife on the phone.
No, she's seen the material, so it doesn't matter. But it's like you can't, because the thing about comedy is truth. And you get guys who, like for lack of a better example, there's a comedian who was still doing jokes about how crap the sharks were or the lions. And you're like, but the lions are top of the Super 15 now, dude. You can't be... Like, I mean, that's a very obvious example. But
it was a lovely joke. He doesn't
really
let it go.
Yeah, so you're clinging on to that thing for, forever.
But you just said something very, very interesting. You said comedy's about truth.
Yes.
Like, we have such a problem finding out what is true these days. And that's why I suppose, you know, they say, for example, that comics in America, even though they weren't necessarily in favor of this candidate, that comics in America helped Donald Trump win. Not because they liked him or they agreed with him, but because they were tearing down all the bullshit and the political correctness that America is obsessed with at the moment, certainly on college campuses and all the rest. And you hear comics tearing that shit apart. Mm. And in some way it worked to the advantage of Donald Trump, who was so politically incorrect the whole time. And that people go, well, I trust the comedians because I don't trust the news sources. Mm. There's fake news everywhere. I trust the comedians because what they say – it makes me feel a certain way. You know, when you hear truth, you kind of respond almost without thinking.
Mm. Yeah.
And maybe you guys are the antidote to all the bullshit. Is that what
I
comedians
hope didn't
do?
I put Jacob Zuma in power.
I think you did.
I'm also thinking that right now. Are we involved?
Burning in Clemenza.
What did we do?
We're going to hold every single one of you responsible for where we currently are.
Don't you think so? That's what your primary job is. You're like a... You know that little hole in the lid of the kettle that lets the steam out, otherwise
like,
it explodes.
But it's like a sort of mirror on society. But the it's in South Africa now, it's very difficult to not be PC.
Like, is it?
Yeah.
Do you feel that pressure?
Well, I don't feel the pressure because I've always been.
You've always had those relevant politically.
Yeah, but I mean, I try and avoid politics because so many other people do it anyway.
I always say that as well, but for me it's different. I've never been that much of political material until recently. Until you know, I got so personal for me because I was like, "Damn, I grew up in the 80s. I know what happened. I witnessed some of the stuff, and it was grateful for me to see that South Africa is in democracy." Now, when you see like, Jesus Christ, are we going to go back to DA or are we going to suffer here and be Zimbabwe? It's scary, you know? And at some level, so it was one of those things. And I've suffered a lot of other social, ills that most black guys suffer from, the mental slavery. And it sometimes comes down to you as a girl in the form of yellow bones. So many women are going crazy whether they don't know whether they're beautiful or they're not.
Look
beautiful.
At, because can I ask you something? What happened to Kanye Mbao's skin tone?
Well,
what's been
pink,
going on there?
All I know now, she's pinker than you.
Yeah, that's true.
But you see, that stems from that. I said, there's no way, because now in South Africa, when you want to feel sexy, you must have a visa.
What does that mean?
Only foreigners find you sexy. You know what I mean? Because South African guys will subscribe to this one form of mental self. Because it's not even about some of those light skins are not pretty. Okay. I may be charcoal, but I'm prettier than most mixed colored people. You know what I'm saying? Like, lighter, the color's got nothing to do with anything, but the way they put it as a, you know, in but a hierarchy of needs.
It's like it's almost become a racism within the race.
Within the racism. And
like that reminds me of what I heard once from an Indian friend of mine who said that when she was growing up, her mother used to say, "Oh, you know, the problem with you is you're so dark, eh?" And she'd be like, "But I'm your daughter."
Yeah.
Is it my fault?
Yeah, in India, yeah, you should have made me lighter, God damn it. But in India, they do have this, and it's not much spoken of because, again, it's politically incorrect. But like, if you're lighter skinned in certain parts of India, they immediately assume you're a superior kind of person.
Even in black community, that's why when I say, well, don't cry when white guys find us sexy.
But let's
because you don't want all of this.
Like, let's not let this happen within. It's bad
and
enough that it happens
spending,
between races. Now we're gonna let it happen inside.
Why do we spend so much time on the beach?
Ah, for God's sake!
Yeah,
exactly.
I make it brown.
I don't know. Shame. It seems
what is
like
wrong with us as a society?
That's what I always
struggle.
Tell people. You'd never ask Gareth Cliff how much the sunscreen costs. Me, God knew my budget.
But I mean, just as much as you're spending time on the beach trying to get a bit of a tan.
I'm ginger. I don't spend any time on the beach.
No, that's true. You'll turn red straight
yes,
away.
And I turn red and then I go brown for about 34 seconds.
Is
and
that
then
much
I peel.
Difference? Because I've had red-haired people and ginger people always... promise go like, oh, I'm red hair and I'm ginger.
If you go to my car now, you'll find a bottle of Factor 50 sunscreen.
Oh, wow.
That I keep there just in case.
It's,
you can bend any time.
It's hard, you know. We all have our crust to bear. Yeah, and the hair thing. And we've got to talk about this because often I hear black women talking about hair, and I just know that it's none of my fucking business. I stay the hell out of those conversations.
You see, it's none of, I'm also like you with that hair issue. Yeah. You see? And I think that my upbringing, my mom, too many people, there's no money for relaxing cream. So razor blade was the way you change your hairstyle.
Right.
Even right now, my sister's got dreadlocks, afro, and that's me. I'm the only one with a hairstyle because I put a blonde on it. You know what I'm saying?
You do a little bleaching thingy there.
Just to be brighter somewhere.
Is it called relaxing cream? Because I used to think relaxing cream was something different, especially when I was a teenager.
Ooh, with my
foreign
English is a relaxing.
It's called hair relaxer, but it should be called a danger to your scalp, is what it should be called.
Isn't that what Herman Mashaba used to make?
Yeah.
Black like me.
Yeah. I did ask him when I was doing this other way. I was like, are you still black like me?
And what did he say?
It's like, of course. Yes.
Of course.
Yeah. But I think the hair thing, I always say, the problem with black women, say, is the black women.
Tell us about the eyebrows.
Hang on, what do you mean by
the ones that are Dubai, the gaffer tape ones?
No, you have to finish the first course.
Yeah, okay. Let me hear what do you mean
so
by
I'm saying, because there's no problem with our hair.
No.
Proper. And our natural hair, because they always go like, oh my God, it's difficult even when you're having, you know, dancing with your partner there, holding your hair and stuff like that. This
holding your hair?
Yeah, because apparently guys love holding hair.
Well, they're like running their fingers through the
notice
hair.
Notice the two guys in the studio just looking at each other
Let us
I think there's something very creepy about a man who goes, hi, you're
like smelling it.
My precious. Oh.
And it's a confidence thing. I'll say this because whenever I go to my hair salon to cut the hair or the guy comes in, the women always go, wow, I wish I was brave like you.
But what?
I wish. Like, and you're like, but you can. And the person goes, no, my hair is horrible. Or my head is horrible.
But the trouble so many women go to and the hours that they have to spend in that chair at the salon. And sometimes it really hurts what they put in.
Listen, you can sit there. Some sit there for 8 hours, 6 hours.
Yeah. Get it all.
And if you want to plait something smaller than hairs, like really thin ones, that's 2 days of work. It's like proper shifts.
You go in
today and then you go back home.
You go back tomorrow.
With a half finished hair.
Have you seen black girls in the mall with braids and then a cap?
Or a scarf. Yeah.
Don't you dare.
Or they wrap it up strategically.
Take the cap off.
If you take the cap off, it's
yeah,
like,
there's hair. It's unfinished. She's going back tomorrow.
I go see a lovely Pakistani man up the road from me.
Yeah.
It takes him about... If I have to wait in the queue, there's about a 15-minute exercise.
You see how your life is so much better.
And it's amazing. And there's a movie on. Sometimes it's Bollywood. Sometimes it's soft porn. And sometimes it's Muslim prayer thingies. He's a strange man. But that's eclectic. He's eclectic, yes. There's always a nice
collection. But you said earlier you're going bald. You still got a fair amount of hair. Are you worried about that? Does it bother you?
Not really. No, I'm not insecure about it. It's inevitable. I'm a bit insecure because my head looks like a cone head. But
I have a shitty looking head.
But
that's why I've never shaved my head either.
I don't think I'm ever going to be a comb over kind of guy. I'm just going to shave it.
So you're not going to pull the Trump from all the way back?
Don't. Because then you'll look like an idiot, unfortunately.
Because Trump is technically, isn't he a ginger? Technically,
we don't include him. We don't talk about
that. But I think he might
be. Don't include them.
He's like a bit of an orangutan like you.
This is racism within the race.
Of a different kind. Hey?
Listen, guys, that tweet yesterday that Julius, I'm sorry, I'm fixating on Burning in Tlemaza at the moment.
What did Julius say? I love
Julius
him.
Tweeted a picture of Burning in Tlemaza. I've got to find this for you because it is the best tweet of the whole day yesterday. And you know, he could be really funny.
I think have you ever had a conversation between you and Julius?
Yeah, many times.
I've been missing on a great conversation because this one talks a lot.
Didn't I tell you the story when I was arrested for speeding? He phoned me,
right?
and he goes, Chief, do you need a lift? Look at this. He put this picture up. Wanted. Oh, wow. Wanted. Burning in Tlemazo. I mean, it's such a funny picture, too. And then he says underneath, it was the best line and the best picture of the whole thing. Because this Burning in Tlemazo thing is so hysterical. He goes, South Africans, please help locate this crook. He's in possession of a state vehicle and cell phone without authorization. Wanya Tsotsi.
Wow.
This guy's in charge. He's the guy who's meant to catch the tzotzis.
But they want him.
Yes.
Did you notice just country. Like on a strange note, did you notice Fikile Mbalula on News 24 there was a scandal about him yesterday suddenly?
Are you kidding me?
A scandal, yes. There was money, so suddenly he's after the Hawks boss, and they're like, there you go. You took money from some guy who you gave tenders to.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah.
He paid for a trip to Las Vegas.
The problem is that we are being beaten as a country, and we don't know who's the highest beater. Because this is insane. Everyone else has got their baggage and their something we didn't know, so everyone is waiting and see who makes a move. And if you make a move that is going to be detrimental to the other person, the other one goes, well, you also stole.
And the death threats and the Smolanyana skeletons that Batabile spoke about the other day.
What makes a difference? I'm sorry, I must say this. What makes a difference about South African politics is that there's politics and then there's muti on top of everything else. Because everyone goes, woo, so and so they're scared of. There are conversations that you have with people, but you can't go beyond because the eyes tell you, now you're going to talk about dark stuff. Can you just
Have you heard about these death threats? Apparently, Lindiwe Sisulu and Cyril have both been talking about how they've had their lives threatened. They're on a list, a hit list.
Wow.
And I mean, I don't know.
I didn't even know they were singers.
There's some dark shit going on.
It is. And that's what I'm saying, that there's muti because, see, I know some people are going to be like, oh, well, she went to Cutcliffe, now she's telling all our stories.
Yeah. But you know,
when we were growing up, there were those guys who were rich and have tuck shops and taxi industries and cows. They were the businessmen of the village. But there was always something very dodgy that we've always known, you know.
Yeah, they've been
and you hear the stories that don't touch Babu Sorenso because this is what happened. And I promise you, there are things that happens in front of you that are so evident, and you're like, oh my God, I'm never going there, you know?
So maybe the president's biggest ally is that he has an Umthakathi.
All I know, it's getting dodgier and dodgier, and it's more like your, what did you call this? Not even Harry Potter. It's becoming a horror movie.
Yeah.
It's becoming darker because there are conversations that you can have with people, and no matter how logic they make sense, the debates or your point of view, it comes to a point of, but by I'm sub. And you're like, what are they afraid of?
They are all afraid of the president.
Listen, the scariness is not of, he's gonna fire me. People get scared on things that you want to question, like, oh,
like
my
superstitious
God.
Crap, right?
Exactly. Yeah. But I'm Zulu. I'm not playing there. I know when it's real. I'm like, okay.
Do you remember when I was a kid, and why I always take this stuff seriously is because it was burnt into my brain when I was little. Do you remember that Henry Kele King?
Shaka Zulu.
And they had the sangomas and then the Umthakathis.
The eyes
would light up. Yes. And I must tell you, ever since I saw that shit, when people talk about this stuff, I actually still get a chill up my spine.
That is because even on,
they said he had serious muti.
There are people with serious muti. Guys, this thing is real. It's just that sometimes people will highlight the bad stuff. African spirituality is so real, even in good stuff. When my dad passed away, I didn't have a place to stay. And literally everything was just, it just went crazy that month. Then I wanted this house and I couldn't get it. But when after we came from my dad's funeral, I promise you, in a day, I had been literally praying but talking to him in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
In a day, I got exactly what I was looking for.
Wow.
There are certain things that you cannot deny. I don't care who you are. If you are that in touch, and if you know the good of African spirituality, rest assured, there's also the bad. Mm-hmm. It's just that people will highlight the bad as if this is how we live. This is not the way of life. That's why there's a sangoma and umthakathi. Those are different things. One heals, one destroys.
Huh.
It's different.
Have you got one of each?
See, these are my French sisters. Uh-oh. I don't know who's calling.
Are they calling from France?
Yeah.
They heard you talking about this.
Yeah, I think so, maybe. I'm not sure.
Just imagine.
Hello. Bonjour, Céleste.
Bonjour.
Comment allez-vous?
Ça va, ça va. That's all I know.
Have you found yourself a nice French penis yet?
No. No. You know what I said to my mom when she was freaked out? I was like, calm down. I said, let me go and talk to her. And then everyone else was freaked out. We closed the bedroom. I said, calm down. These are human beings. These are people. Now it's going to be like, you are racist. Okay? And don't be too scared. At least they brought you French, guys. I'm bringing a Nigerian. She literally burst out laughing. And she's like, you are crazy.
You could have at least said somebody from the DRC, because then you'd learn some French as well, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I know, but that French is different. Comment ça va?
I usually know that in Joburg especially, you find a lot of Congolese guys, you know, like car guards and things, right? Mm. I mean, it's not necessarily that that's the only job that they can get, but I just happen to find a lot of French speaking guards.
Yeah.
You don't bump into a lot of Congolese guys, sort of elsewhere. What,
at ABSA?
At ABSA.
No.
Well, I do.
I love them. They are there for dark skinned girls, guys, and big girls. They tell us we are sexy. You see, even when they don't see me, I walk around like I want them to see me. They go, "Joy, madam, oh, look at this one."
They never say that about me.
Now my size, now.
You never had any Congolese interest?
No.
I'm sorry, Chris. How disappointing.
Oh well, you know what, Chris? You can't have it all.
I don't get any.
You
are insane.
Stop it. Your wife is on the phone and she's losing her shit completely. Tell me about the what you think. I don't know if you've been following the news. There's this Henry van Breda guy, this axe.
Oh my god, I think he's insane.
Now
No, that's,
let me tell you something. Oscar Pistorius was one thing, okay? And everybody was watching that. It was one woman who got murdered, and it was horrible and everything else. But because he's an Olympic, Paralympic athlete or whatever, everybody paid attention. Oh, this is a good story, this Henry van Breda story. This is a much, much more horrifying story.
I said so too.
He killed his whole family with
the
axe.
But now he's saying, oh, no, he didn't. There was some mysterious dude who came in with the axe. Of course it's made up.
How does he explain exiting the place? That's where I'm stuck.
He says he threw the axe at the guy, and then the guy ran down the stairs and out of the kitchen door into this heavily guarded estate, and nobody else saw him.
Yeah.
Well, I believe him.
You've watched too many horror movies.
There was a man who smelt very nice as well when he came in. And he murdered everyone. It was the axe effect. Sorry, I had to get it out. It's been there for a day.
Stop it right now.
You know now why I watch your shows. You're insane.
We were talking this morning. Have you ever held up an axe? It's really hard to chop wood, let alone to chop a human.
But it wasn't a big axe, like sort of those meter long ones. It was probably like a hatchet thing.
Okay, can I get this? Did he kill them first before he used the axe, or he was axing everyone?
No, he killed them
with the axe.
Fired his whole family. Yeah, them.
Chopped and chopped until they stopped breathing.
And how did his sister survive? Sister.
Yeah. He couldn't kill her, but she's got a bit of brain damage.
Yeah, as a result.
And memory
so
loss.
She was hospitalized for a long time. And I think she had a supervised.
This is freaky, guys.
I think they had a supervised visit where her and him reunited for the first time last year, I think. But she's
testifying against.
But I mean, she's back in school apparently. The two of them have been kept away from each other, and she's going to be testifying against him.
Yeah, because that's pretty damning. If he's going, there was a guy who came in and he did all this stuff, and she's going, no, it was you.
Yeah.
You were the one who hit me with the axe.
Wouldn't that,
what is wrong with him? Before the axe thing, did they find out what is wrong with him?
They said there might have been some tick. There might have been like
wasn't
mental.
But he was incredibly wealthy.
Guys, his whole family, they lived on this really expensive estate somewhere in Stellenbosch. And apparently there's a lot of money up for grabs when the estate settled. But they also, his family checked him into some kind of psychiatric institution for a while.
At some point.
So there's something that's not 100%. And you know, again, I'm not going to say, because I'm not one of those people who's afraid of mental illness. Mm. I think we're all a little bit crazy.
Yep. Yeah.
But most of us keep it together and don't axe the family.
But, you know what? I think
that's the least we can do.
Yeah, but
isn't it?
I like our community, because when you're crazy and you're disabled and you there's something really that is not connecting, people are not going to trust you with serious stuff.
They just push you out into the sun and take you inside at night.
But they give you enough what you can handle, you know?
Like fireworks.
No, you walk around the streets, all the people in the streets know you, the kids know you. So you literally are guarded by the whole community because everyone in this family knows. You sleep here, you do things here, but even when you go out, you know, the kids know this man is not really
100%.
You know, and that helps. In identify, because the thing is, it's identifying. Imagine his girlfriend now, right now. Can't even say, I won't even talk about you as an ex to a new boyfriend if you ex your people.
Well, the other weird thing is that you get these girls who are into prisoners and they write letters to those guys who.
What is up with that?
Serial killers. Charles Manson, married one of them, and there's a whole thing going on. Like these women who are so turned on by these bad boys. Very odd. Like that, that's almost like a mental illness all of its own.
On its own.
You're pulling a face, but what if he spoke French to you and he said, no. You're my size?
You're my size, no.
Oh, yeah. You'd like that. Then suddenly you'd be much friendlier.
No. I love my life. I think, again, I'm turning 38 this year, and I've realized how women go crazy over finding a partner after a certain age. You know? Men, you start at Cliff Central, you do things, you guys never stop. You always have a goal, whether you're 60, whether you're 65,
it's also because we can produce a hard-on and some sperm at any age.
I don't know if at any age, but at some point you have to start taking medication.
I don't know, dude.
Yes, for a lot of men.
That must be risky because, like, if you don't know, not a sure thing and then you pop a pill, then you're like, whoa, what do I do now?
Don't take medication or take a pill. Use Imbiza.
What is Imbiza?
Imbiza is the best. Our men use that thing, okay? It's not like Viagra. It won't rise after 12 hours.
Tell him about it.
You drink it. It's healing sangomas do. They'll mix it up. Herbs, natural herbs. It's something that you spray it with. to clear, because the prank you have to clear your back
stuff
area.
Made of
you must clear the back area. Because your back must be flexible to bend over, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, but now the worst thing about Imbiza is that it's not like Viagra. Viagra will tell, I don't know whether they have hours, pop a pill in 6 hours, you'll be good. With this one, you just take this treatment. Anything might happen at any time. So you might be in the middle of Pick and Pay and oops. So you must just be ready.
But hang on. So you were saying women, because it is harder. Like, you know, there's this pressure of society, first of all, which is ridiculous because men don't have that pressure. There's the pressure of maybe there's something wrong with her and that's why she's single.
Exactly.
And then there's the idea that she's got a biological clock that's ticking and that every woman on earth needs to have hundreds of children.
I know now why people even commit suicide. You don't understand how much of that conversation I've heard. Not with the old aunties, even with my peers. Honestly, girl, do something.
Now, do you know why people
that's when you go like, but your man is cheating on you. We haven't done anything.
Yeah, wouldn't you rather?
the whole thing about having children is important, because people who have children are the ones who encourage you. And they're, oh, you must.
But you know why?
Because misery loves company.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's
and I've pointed this out to so many people. Imagine meeting a parent. No, this is like the most sociopathic thing you can say. You're a parent and you say to someone else, you know, having little Lily was the 10th best thing that's ever happened in my life. They'll think you're a horrible, horrible person. Unless your kid is the apex of all of the life's worth.
Does it really make you a bad parent?
Speak to parents and they'll be like, oh, I can't sleep and I'm spending so much money on stupid school fees and this child's driving me insane and it won't stop moaning. And then they're like, no, but I love her so much and she's everything to me.
Because you have to say that.
Mom has 8 of us. She once said, I didn't want all of this.
No, of course not.
Like, literally, she once said that. And I understood, because when she was growing up and she met my dad, she was playing a tennis then in rural areas. And she was a nurse. Mm. And she was a ballroom dancer. And
she was the hottie of the town.
Listen,
right?
If I was half my mom's BLE.
Yeah.
I look like my dad. Messed up my love life. But all I'm saying is, it's, I think it's fair for us. We were like, wow, really, mom? What is it that you did, you wanted to do, you know? And of course, that time it made sense. My dad wanted to marry her, and then she left her job.
And we mustn't pretend that, that history is all fair and everybody was sweet and kind to each other.
Mm.
Like, women really didn't have a choice in those days. If you were the woman, you were pregnant when the man made you pregnant. Full stop.
Thank you.
You didn't go, well, you know, I'd like to have 6 months to focus on my career. It didn't happen.
There was no discussions like those ones.
No.
And most especially in our traditional sense, it was like, oh, you're getting married. Even on your day of the wedding, the gogos will tell you, you must be ready. You can be pregnant anytime from
coming.
Now. Yes, yes. You were being prepared for having a baby before you even go and conceive.
And the more kids you produced, the better a wife and woman you were.
Yes.
So, I mean, that's all changed. And you don't feel any of that pressure?
Not really. I love kids. I'm from the family of huge number. There was always chaos and noise. I understand what people say when they say, wow, it's lovely. It keeps the home warm. Mm. But I'm not going to pretend now that I love Jesus and go and get married at some tent and become Mrs. Pastor.
Mm.
So that my life can be together. Because have you seen those guys and you're like, I have no prudence. Prudence is a Mrs. Pastor now, Aibo. This one had four boyfriends at some call.
Is there anything that you need to plug? Anything that's going on that you want people to know about?
Yeah.
Yeah, me. People must know that in June, I'm stopping acting for now. I'm doing comedy proper, as in literally
welcome home
for now.
All right,
Jesus,
good.
Yes.
Yeah.
It's been 5 years. Yeah. I've been doing this thing as if I'm still, it's been great. And I can still act some of the things, and it's not like I'm moving away from acting as such, but I'm,
all right.
I think it's time for me in the show. It's going to make some people think, oh my God, no, but it's growth. And my tour is starting in July.
Very good.
Go see Celeste. It's very funny.
A brand new tour for Celeste and Dooley.
What's
How about
it called?
You?
Black Tax
again. But yes, for me, just watch my show on SABC 3.
Okay.
Saturdays at 4 o'clock. And look out for Don't Burn Your Sausage coming in September.
Oh, wow.
It's a cooking comedy show that I do with Pete Goffwood.
Don't burn your sausage.
It's all about using food to get laid.
That's funny.
Okay, Chris.
All right. I love you guys. Listen, thank you so much for coming to see us this morning.
It's always nice to
Chris
be
Forrest,
here.
Celeste Ntuli.
Thank you.
Lovely to see you guys. And That's kind of what we call it.
CliffCentral.com.